Hey, this is Kirk Cousins live at the Senior Bowl with Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier as we are on the eve of legal tampering. Cody, how are you doing, brother?
Doing fantastic, man. It's Friday, and I know you're having a good Friday. We had a show this morning already on a different channel, so I think we're cruising at this point, ready to talk free agency, ready to talk best ball, dynasty, the whole nine yards. It's March.
Man. Spring has sprung, man. So yeah, pumped to be here for it. Let's get right into it. Actually, before we get right into it, man, if you're watching this on YouTube, please remember to like the show, subscribe to the channel. It helps us out a ton. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating and review would go a long way, and we would certainly appreciate that. With it being said, just a ton of fallout here. I don't really know where to start. I guess maybe with the Kirk Cousins stuff. And not so much as it pertains to Kirk Cousins, but as it would pertain to associated pieces. And the stuff we're hearing the most right now is the Falcons. There was the report that came out from Pelissero yesterday when he was on Rich Eisen's show saying that he's taking his time right now to kind of go through his suitors, and he's certainly listening to people outside of Minnesota. It feels like Minnesota's still, going to be in on it, but there's a little bit more interest for Kirk Cousins, outside than we had thought. And it's felt like the stuff with the Justin Fields, and we've seen that with the odds, right? The Justin Fields stuff, it's been like the trend lines have been different for these two players, right? A lot more teams, it feels like, are in on Kirk Cousins than would be in on Fields, specifically Atlanta Falcons. So for me, it brings up a couple things. One, what do we make of Justin Jefferson in best ball and in dynasty and stuff vis-a-vis Ja'Marr Chase? If in a Kirk Cousins-less offense, right? And secondly, what do we do now in just trying to anticipate this and being ahead of the market and say, let's just say it is Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. Then you look at where Drake London is being taken right now as wide in best ball right now. We're looking at wide receiver. Let's see, London. I have to keep going down a little bit. So wide receiver 28.
Yep.
Does it feel like it's kind of priced? It feels like to me that with London, it's kind of priced in that he's going to have a better quarterback, right? It feels like it's priced in. I don't know if it's priced in to having a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, especially given the void of talent around him among the wide receivers. Of course, that Kyle Pitts is still there. Kyle Pitts, to me, feels like he's a good value in dynasty. He's somebody, as you know, who I did make a trade for in one of my kind of older dynasty leagues that I care a lot about. I think that that's kind of interesting, and just all the associated pieces there around what would be Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. I know it sounds really weird, but it is a new, it's a new Zach Robinson offense. It's going to be an offense where he's studied under McVay. We know that that's a kind of deal where we've seen what Stafford has been able to do with Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, all the rest of these guys, right? I hate to say it, man, but I'm back interested in guys like Drake London. I'm back interested. You know what I'm saying? I'm back interested in Kyle Pitts. What do you think about that? And then we can maybe circle back around to what I know you're a close observer of the Vikings. I have another Vikings thing I want to talk about, but what does that mean for does Justin Jefferson not feel as safe as Ja'Marr Chase right now?
I have two trains of thought with this Viking thing. First off, with Jefferson, and that is if Cousins is back, 1-2 doesn't matter, right? But if Cousins departs, what's the move? I don't think it's Baker. I don't think it's Russ. I think it's Drake May. I think that's like the angle they're going to take, is they're going to try and get Drake or McCarthy in the strap. They're going to try and move up and get one of these guys, which would definitely feel like
we talked about this. What is the
connection? The connection is McCown was hired as the quarterback coach for the Vikings, and he was the high school head coach for I think it was head coach, maybe an offensive coordinator, some shit, but head coach for Drake May in high school. So there's a little bit of a connection there, but you know, sneak peek, my mock draft 5.0, five rounds is going to be out next week, at the end of next week, and Drake May is going to be my pick at pick two, and it's going to be a trade up with the Vikings. That's just what it's going to be. That's forecasting. I don't know what the word is, but anyway, Justin Jefferson, I do think the question mark is there, even if it is a rookie, where these rookies will lean on their best talents. But the problem is Hockenson's a very dependable target there. If he does get back healthy, Addison, Jefferson, there's more than just one mouth to feed there. So I do think that comes down a little bit if it is a rookie or if it's Baker or if it is Russ. No matter what, I don't think it can be as perfect as it was with Kirk. I will say that. And the inverse, you bring up Drake London. I think you said wide receiver 28.
Yeah.
I'm seeing 24 on Underdog right now.
Well, and his ADP's at 36. On our current best ball cheat sheet right now, he's at 28. So does he need to come up?
I mean, so that's what I'm saying. So he's listed 24 on Underdog right now, and he's right behind Neighbors, which doesn't have a landing spot, but we love Waddle in Miami, DK Metcalf in Seattle, Mike Evans in Tampa, Michael Pittman in Indianapolis, Tank Dell, Chris Olave, Stephon Diggs. I think you can make an argument like Rashee Rice is at 14, Adams is at 13. The quarterback that Adams has, the situation Rice is in where he could potentially add a receiver in round one. Ayuk is at 12. I love Ayuk, but DJ Moore's at 10. Things like this, like you can rationalize and rationally believe that if Drake London does get a quarterback like Kirk Cousins with competency throwing the football 555, 600 times, that London's going to get 150, 160, 170 targets. He's going to be the main beneficiary, and they have a running game, and he's got Pitts on the inside there, and there's no real threat at number two currently, right? They could bring in a McConkey, or they could bring in a Roman Wilson, something like this. That'd probably be smart, but London's the clear cut, right? He's got the top 10 draft capital. Fontenot wants him to succeed. This team wants him to succeed. If Kirk Cousins does go to Atlanta, there's no reason not to believe that Drake London could give you a top 12 finish in 2024. I fully believe that is capable.
So in a vacuum, without knowing Romo Odunze's landing spot, do you like Drake London better than Romo Odunze?
In 2024?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you like him better?
If that's with Kirk Cousins.
Do you like him better than Cooper Kupp and Keenan Allen?
Without knowing,
though, right? We're just kind of – so let's just bake in a 50% chance of Cousins.
And this is the benefit of having these thoughts right now is that you're trying to – you have to forecast this. That's how you have to draft these best ball teams right now, I believe. We've talked about this with the rookies all the time, but if you see a value and you think that there's opportunity for this role to grow, which with Kirk Cousins, this role is going to grow for Drake London, 100%. I'm taking him over both those guys.
Okay, but what if it's only a 50% chance?
It's 50%. It's not 20%. What's the other options? The other options are what? Baker's not going to go there. Russ doesn't feel like he's going to go there. He's visiting with the Giants and Steelers. It's a rookie, right? It's a rookie.
It feels like there's two teams. I don't know what it feels like. The only team that's been leaked and stuff is everything with Fontenot. He just leaks this correct stuff. So I don't, but he definitely does, right? And so I don't know, man. I trust Tom Pelissero's reporting, and whenever he says that he's kind of that there are multiple suitors, I know that one has to be Atlanta. I'm not sure who the other one could be. It could be, dude. It could be something sneaky. It could be
There's one source
like Pittsburgh or something. You know what I'm saying? It could be something that we just totally don't expect.
There's one source in Minnesota that I have that I believe very closely because he has close connections with a lot of the players on the team. And when he says Kirk's not going anywhere, I believe him. If he says Kirk's leaving, I believe him. And a couple days ago, he said Kirk's not going to be back in purple. And so that's enough for me to believe he's probably going to go to Atlanta or where. We've talked about Washington before. He's probably not going to go back to Washington, right? That's not a situation.
I mean, but that did come up. That did come up in India a little.
I don't think it would be a bad idea. But if it's not Washington, is he going to New England? Does that seem like that would make sense?
Well, I'm not saying it makes sense, but I'm saying unless like we can at least
the process of elimination at this point. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, but we can at least give a. I think that. I think we can at least give some kind of betting odds to just the field without saying it could be something weird. It could be something
I'd put 70% on Atlanta. And but to answer your question anyway, 50% Atlanta for Drake London, I would take that odd and draft Drake London ahead of those guys.
Over Keenan Allen.
And Cooper Kupp.
And Rome.
And Rome.
What about Devontae Smith? That starts to get hairy, dude.
I think they bring another weapon into Philadelphia, and I think that offense is a little bit of figuring out to do. And they also have a running back situation that they need to comb through and figure out what kind of running attack, rushing attack. They have a lot of self-evaluation to do in Philadelphia. And I'm not saying that that's going to hurt Devontae Smith per se, but I just think that the target usage that we could see come down the pipeline if Kirk Cousins does go to Atlanta would just the target usage alone is going to surpass what we're seeing from Devontae Smith right now.
And Kyle Pitts at tight end 10, is that still where he is? Because there's been some adjustment since. Okay. So, all right.
He
so
just cracked Njoku.
He just, okay. But,
just
but,
cracked him.
But he's still behind Evan Engram.
Yeah, Evan Engram's 8 at 82.2. Pitts is 86.8. Njoku's 87.0.
Should Pitts just be on the top of that? Or with Evan Engram, because Calvin Ridley's the other. Let's talk about Calvin Ridley and Engram here in a second. Okay. But do you like Kyle Pitts with Kirk Cousins more than Evan Engram if there is no Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, I mean, he utilizes these tight ends. And like we just talked about, there's no real number two of consequence at the wide receiver position right now. Well, now, again, like well, I said,
Bijan is going to have a, you know, with Zach Robinson.
That's running in the backfield, right? But we also saw Kirk in Minnesota have Diggs, Thielen, and have a running back in Dalvin Cook. Like he was able to move around with pieces like that. And he had Kyle Rudolph in there who had multiple seasons with 7, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns. So I think there's opportunities for all these guys to succeed, even if they did add a Ladd, a Roman, a Javon Baker, whatever, to come in and be a number two in this offense. I think there's still enough room for Pitts. And I think nine is, you know, tight end 9, tight end 8. That's a good, fine area. You know, I don't think he belongs ahead of the Kittle, Kincaid, and I don't think he belongs in that conversation at this point. Now, if we make it through the draft and they don't add a receiver in the first three rounds, then I think the conversation begins. Okay, maybe he should be ticked up a spot or two, maybe ahead of Evan Engram.
Well, here's the reason why I keep harping on this thing with Pitts, because it feels like to me, and TJ Hawkinson here, I mean, clearly that's another guy who's going to be affected, but both those guys go off the board at a point in these drafts where it's like everything else gets super duper duper dusty. It's like there's a big tier of wide receivers that I'm bumped up Adonai Mitchell and Xavier. After doing yesterday, I went through with the manual cheat sheet and just did four manual drafts and the $10, I forget what it was called, like the big board. And in doing those, I realized Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, they're going off the board at around the same time as these running backs like the David Montgomerys, the Ramondre Stevensons, the Joe Mixons. And I know it's going to be trailing data from the ADP on Underdog. It's not going to show you that right now, but they've moved up significantly post-combine, right? The same thing has happened for Brian Thomas. And so whenever kind of after you get through that tier that ends with those guys, it also kind of above them includes the, you know, the George Pickens that people like, or, you know, Christian Kirk or Godwin, or that you feel kind of good about. There's a tier break. And then you get down to guys like Romeo Doubs and Marquise Brown, who's still, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with him, who's still a free agent. Cortland Sutton, who they said that the Broncos are going to get rid of. You know, Deontay Johnson, who he limps off the – you know
Deontay. I'm good. I'm good.
And the running backs that are going off the board at the same time, we're talking about James Conner, and we're talking about Najee Harris, or, you know, Javonte Williams, Brian Robinson. Just dudes you don't feel like $1 million taking as a, you know – yeah, I don't even get excited about these guys as an RB3 when I can look down and, you know, I can get an RB3 later, like one of the rookies, like Jonathan Brooks or Trey Benson, Roschon Johnson, Kendre Miller, Zamir White, some of these kind of upside dudes, these sort of moonshot to possible RB1 kind of situations if things fall right in free agency and through the draft. And so that's why, to me, I'm just interested in really nailing this stuff down about Kyle Pitts, because he falls exactly right there. You know, if you're not going to want to take a quarterback, if you're not going to be taking in that same kind of area, a Justin Herbert, a Jordan Love, or a Kyler Murray, which I think would be fine, it's a prime spot for tight ends as far as these early best ball drafts. So Kyle Pitts, if we're considering the Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, becomes really interesting to me. If you stay in Minnesota, are we going to get swindled by Alex? What, like, is Alexander Madison
going to do anything? We're not getting swindled by anything.
We always aim to never get swindled here. I don't mean us at Roster Watch. I mean, are fantasy players going to get swindled by believing that Ty Chandler is going to step up into some kind of awesome role for the Vikings? And they are absolutely drafting somebody, right? Or, I mean, they're going to bring somebody else.
I was going to say 100% they will get swindled if they do not subscribe to Roster Watch and listen to all of our shows and listen to us at the training camp tour. Because the training camp tour last year, if you remember right, I went up to Minnesota and I watched two practices, Minnesota and Tennessee. And my biggest takeaway from that event was, remember at that point, people were saying, Chandler's going to get to 50-50. It's going to be Chandler. And I walked in there and it was a 90-10 split from Madison and CJ Ham. And Chandler wasn't touching it, right?
Yeah,
man. And then we saw the year start off, and they weren't giving Chandler all those opportunities that were like, people were like, what? And then the year went on, and of course, you know, opportunity was there. Alexander Madison's gone. Ty Chandler's on a rookie contract. They're 1,000% drafting a running back in this class. Now, this class isn't fantastic, and I shouldn't say 1,000%. I should say 85%, because I talked about this on a show on Tuesday with Maddie. The depth of this free agent running back group is vast compared to this rookie running back group. Now, you just have to have the conversation with yourself. All of these running backs in the rookie class, they're going to come in that third round area, late second, early third round area. They're all going to have $1.2 million against your cap. So what does that do to the Saquons, the Jacobses, the Henrys, the Pollards, the Swifts? Where does that cap come in for those guys? And these teams are going to have to figure that out over the next couple of days and figure out, do we want to spend 6 million at the running back position, or do we just want to bet on taking a guy in the early third or late second and getting a Jalen Wright or Trey Benson or whatever you want? The Vikings are 100% going to be in that conversation. They're either going to spend up 5-6 million, or they're going to draft one in the third or fourth round. I feel so confident in that, because, like I said, they need not only a guy that can take the whole workload, but they need a guy to, if they want Chandler to be the number one, they need a guy to at least be a bruiser inside in between the tackles.
Well, who are the $5-6 million guys? Do you think Austin Eckler is a five? And he doesn't really fit that profile that you said. We know that DeAndre Swift isn't. We know what Saquon and what Josh Jacobs want. They want $10 million. I'm not sure they're going to get it. Right?
You know the middle ground guy? The middle ground guy is Antonio Gibson. The middle ground guy, the 220-pounder. If you can get Antonio Gibson, get him on two and a half million.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking middle. Well, if we're considering middle ground, something underneath Saquon and Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry.
But that's the thing, is what are you going to get? Cook got $8 million last year. I think Cook, if Cook could have given us anything last year, he wouldn't have ruined it. But I think Cook kind of ruined it for these old dudes. It feels like, I know that it's every situation is situational, but I'm not sure Henry can quite get up to that $8 million range. I would say he's probably around that 5-6 if I had to bet today.
And Henry,
and I would pay that if I was the Vikings and I knew what I had.
Would you rather have Antonio Gibson or J.K. Dobbins?
Antonio Gibson six times a week. Yeah.
I kind of think there's still something there with Dobbins, man. He's been somebody I'm kind of interested in. You can get him as your running back five, or your running back five in best ball right now.
Are we talking best ball? I thought we were talking Vikings. I thought you were talking about the Viking situation.
We are. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think that would be awesome if he went somewhere like the Vikings, when you can get him as your.
I would agree.
When you can get him as your wide receiver. I mean, he's going right now. He's going right now at about the same time as like Jaleel McLaughlin.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's still J.K. Dobbins. It looks like we got a super chat here. Here for the memes. Hi, friends. Can I ask for help with my prior question? I didn't see a question.
He did have a question here. First off, I want to just say shout out, because we just got monetized, and this is the first ever. I think this is the first ever super chat. Is it not?
Oh yeah, because our monetization just kicked in, man. So thanks to everybody for subscribing here to the channel. Shout out, dude. Can we take here for the memes is like super chill? Like, I guess it's like we can't do it like they do in the store where they put up their first dollar, but maybe we can take a screenshot of that, and we can frame it and kind of put it up on the wall. Yeah.
We're going to frame it.
Here, I'll get a screenshot of that thing.
I got a screenshot. I just got one.
All right, cool. All right. So here's the question. Sup, guys? Just won my Dynasty League 10-man single QB. Would you trade Tyreek Hill in a 25 first for CeeDee Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase? I have Dak, Amon-Ra, Garrett, Barkley, Connor, Kittle, Watson.
So it's Lamb or Chase, and he's giving away Hill and a first. Hill self-proclaimed came out this past year, said he's going to play two more years.
He's going to play
this year, next year.
Yeah, well, he said once this contract up, it's over, and he's going to go be an adult film star. So a 25 first, though, that's kind of – I mean, I want Ja'Marr Chase on my team. I want CeeDee Lamb on my team.
Yeah.
25 first is tough to give up plus Tyreek because you know that Tyreek's going to be awesome for you for the next 2 years.
He's got Barkley, Connor. The thing that's hanging me up here is he's got Garrett Wilson. He's got two good receivers and Watson as well. Christian Watson's down there. I know we kind of have we have random thoughts on him, but the problem I think I have here is Connor and Barkley at their current age. And the one thing we are very confident on in the 2025 class is that class is going to be the most heavy at running back.
Yeah.
So if you know the question, I guess the problem you have here is you have to figure out, like, are you going all in this year? Are you trying to just build this thing as a dynasty? Do you have picks in 2025? I'm 100% in line with Alex here. I'm going Lamb or Chase, but I also just have a little bit of hesitancy, and I hope you have something planned because you will need to adjust this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll just say this. I think that deal is probably fair, right? I think it's fair if you want to do it. But if you do it, I would say this year when you can get the second round, Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, these kinds of guys in your rookie draft, you're probably going to want to do it this year and get a little bit younger at running back. You know, get a little younger at running back. But we certainly do appreciate it. Oh, gosh, look who we got. Blake Skaggs. Blake sending us $4.99. Blake is rolling in the cash now that he got a real job. Blake, love you, brother, man. I hope everything's going good, man. Shoot me a text. Let me know that new job's going, man. We certainly appreciate it, and certainly appreciate you guys sending the super chats here in YouTube. Okay, let's get to just a few more of these guys. Do we need to talk about Calvin Ridley and the fact that Trevor Lawrence says that he wants him? I don't know if it matters that Trevor Lawrence wants him back, because if he is extended before the start, when is the start of the new league year? Is it 15th?
13th, I think.
13th. If he's extended before the start of the new league year, before he officially hits free agency, then the 2024, I believe, do you know what this is?
I think it's the second.
The fourth that they owe Atlanta becomes a second. And they're not,
there you go.
You know, so I think he's going to hit free agency. And if his free agency is going to be able to test the market, maybe they could eventually, I don't know, they could eventually maybe do something with him. But any thoughts about Ridley? You know, I don't have the dynasty stuff pulled up right now, but he's got to be 30 by, is he 30 yet?
Let's I got him at 29.5.
Oh, look at this.
As of June 1st this year.
I think we have him as a our dynasty top age has this as his age 30 season.
Correct.
So what do you think about Ridley? Any landing spots you like for him and or any fallout for the other guys? We mentioned Evan Engram. Maybe we can just kind of come full circle with Kyle Pitts, like we talked about earlier. You know, how do you if we say Ridley's gone and we're saying Kirk Cousins, Zach Robinson offense in Atlanta for Kyle Pitts? How do you and those two players are both sitting in the most dead and dusty area of these best ball drafts? Which one do you like better?
I think the Ridley thing is interesting. If I should have dug into it a little bit further, but if you are right in that if he enters free agency and then that draft pick change is a moot point, going back to Jacksonville makes a lot of sense. If the contract is right and he's happy with it, right? Especially if Trevor Lawrence wants him back. Now, again, if that number is not right, if that number is close to 20 million, I'm not sure they pay that or fork that up. And you can just go into the draft class and get somebody. But a couple of spots that would make sense for Calvin Ridley and that I would hate, one would be New England. I would hate that. because I don't know what the quarterback situation is. I don't know what's all around it. I would love it if they got one of these quarterbacks that could pepper him and give him 170, just because there's not really a ton of talent in the New England wide receiver room. Another one that's interesting, I think, is Tennessee. DeAndre Hopkins is still under contract, but we know Burks is there, and we didn't really get a happy comment, or I should say, positive comments about Treylon Burks.
Well, you asked how to compare him to Jamar Chase. You're not going to, he said, that's unfair.
Hey, I was just fishing. I was fishing to see his thoughts. And he basically said the biggest note I took away, and that's why I fished for it, was he said Treylon Burks still has a bit to do in the development stage. Bang. Yep. That's the answer. That's all we needed to know. And that tells us where he thinks they need. He said they need speed. They need dynamism in the receiving room. Now, I'm not sure Ridley brings either of those right now, but he's a really good route runner. And he might complement Hopkins pretty well. I would say another interesting spot could be Denver if they do move on from Sutton and Judy, but we'll see what happens with that. Yeah. Those are just a couple of spots that kind of bring to mind, but I'm going to be honest with you right now. I haven't drafted Ridley. I think I've done six drafts this week. I haven't drafted him. He's at wide receiver 35 right now. And this is best ball talking underdog. And because he's right between McLaurin, Christian Kirk, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'll take Jackson Smith and Jigba. In best ball, I'll take Brian Thomas. Jordan Addison's right in front of him. Jaden Reed, Roma Dunze. I would rather take all these other guys that I feel better about their gameplay or I feel better about their situation than I do Ridley right now.